If you've got your Bibles today, I want you to turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 18. The book of Matthew chapter 18. I want to deal with just the subject. The Spirit of God quickened me as I got up this morning. Matthew chapter 18 in the New Testament. I'll be reading out of the King James Version. I want to read a verse of Scripture. Then we're going to go to Galatians chapter 6 verse 9. Then Romans 12 verse 5, and then Ephesians 6 verse 12. But let's deal first as the text of this message in Matthew 18. I'm going to read some red parts. I love the red parts of the Bible. Jesus here has been speaking to several people. In fact, verse 11 of Matthew 18 says, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." That's the primary objective of the Savior. The primary objective of Jesus is to save people that don't know Him. You may know about God, but do you know God? That's an amazing statement, but really true. A lot of people know about God, but do they know God? And you know God, when you know how you can tell someone knows God? By their actions. You see, a lot of people talk God, but they don't do what God does. God comes to save that which is lost. Some people in the name of God love to kill people, children. They don't care. They think they're doing it all in the name of God. No, you know about God. You don't know God. Because if you knew God, God is love. Amen. Now, there's a judgment side to Him. But if you obey Him, you never see it. And He don't need you to get rid of anybody on the earth like as if He can't handle it. You see what I'm saying? See, that's religion talking. That's people that know about God instead of knowing God. So let me read verse 11 again of Matthew 18. It says, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." And I love that. Then I want to go over to verse 18 where I want to get to, Matthew 18, verse 18. He says, "Verily I say," now this is Jesus talking unto you, so unto us, "whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." Would you please underline that and put some stars there? That's telling you, you have some power in heaven and in earth. Now, it's up to you to use it. He says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever, it don't make no difference, not what it is, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So now that's two places that you have dominion and power. Then Jesus says again, he has to say it again because they didn't get it the first time. "Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree," now that's a big word, "on earth," now we're dealing with the planet here, "as touching anything," underline the two words, "anything, that they shall ask, it shall be done," underline the word "done, for them of my Father, which is in heaven." So notice now God is being magnified again in your asking and in your agreeing. Verse 20, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am," or "there am I in the midst of them." Title of this message this morning is, "What you bind, you should never loose." Write that down. That'd be the title of this message. What you bind, you shall never loose. You'd be surprised how many people have used the power of God to bind something, then got aggravated because they didn't see it right away and began to loose what they bound and then lost out on everything and blamed God. And He didn't want that untied the knot. He didn't untie the knot at all. Now, He gave us the power in heaven and in earth. Now, what heaven is He talking about? The heavenlies, the principalities and the powers of the air that are ruling and reigning. You see, I made up my mind that I will not loose something that I've bound. Because evidently, if I bound it, then I must want it. Then I'm walking in the presence or in the will of God. And I don't care about time because a delay is not a denial. So when you understand something about this, let me read this again. "Verily I say unto you," verse 18, "whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Notice when I pray the prayer of the hundredfold, I loose that anointing in heaven to come to you on the earth. I have that ability and so do you. Do you see that? Let me do a little teaching first. I get funny after a while. I just want to do a little teaching. So write this down here. Don't lose something in your life you have already bound because of time or circumstances. You see, a lot of people don't like the word patience, but if you let patience have its perfect work, you'll be perfect, entire, watch this, wanting nothing. How many of you would love to get up tomorrow morning and not want for anything? Hold your hand up. All you got to do is let your patience work on it. It's such a simple analogy. If you let your patience work on it, it'll work. But see, but a lot of time when things are delayed, we get aggravated. And you know what I say to myself? Well, I'm exercising my patience. I've been believing God for some things that still have not yet come to pass, but that doesn't mean they won't come to pass. Do you see what I'm saying? Because I done bound the devil. I bound the devil. I sure ain't gonna lose him. I don't use Satan's weapons against him, because he knows how those things work. I use the weapons that God has given me, for my weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. How do I do that? By casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought, now I'm in the thought process, into captivity to the obedience of Christ, which means this: you can take a thought and captivate it, but you can also loose it. You see, the devil may tell you, go turn on some pornography, and you take that thought and you shut it down. You captivate it and throw it in a prison of darkness. But then all of a sudden, when somebody's not around, that captivity thought is still alive, but it's in captivity. And if you go unlock that door, you'll go do what that thought says. Do you see that? So the title of this message is, what you bind, you should never lose. Or never loose. So don't loose something in your life you have already bound because of time or circumstances. Now Galatians chapter 6 verse 9, you can turn to it or you can write it down and go to it later. It says, let us not be weary. Well, turn to it so you can see what I'm talking about. Galatians chapter 6 verse 9. It says, let us not be weary. Now that's enough in itself. We're in what? We're in well doing. What's the well doing? Whatever you're bound on earth is bound in heaven. That's well doing. Let us not be weary in well doing, because notice there's an end result of this. For in due season we shall what? Reap if we faint not. In other words, if we don't give up, we're going to get what we said. But he said the whole thing to this is the reason why people begin to loose things they're bound, they get weary. They get weary in trying to receive the healing. That's the reason why the healing not coming. You're trying to receive it when it's already been done. What? Well, I don't feel it. We ain't talking about your feeling. We're talking about what the Word of God says. He said, by his stripes you were healed, but I am sick. Well, I know you am sick. I'm not dealing with you am sick. I'm dealing with you were healed. See, you got to get, you got the cart in front of the horse, and the horse can't, horse has a hard time pushing stuff, but it don't have no problem dragging stuff. All right. Do you see what I'm saying? Why? It don't have a head to push. Now, an elephant can push something. And it can also drag something. But a horse, he got a hard time. He got a small head. He ain't gonna be able to push it. But buddy, he put them hind legs behind it. It's gonna work. So I said, let us not be weary and well do it. For in due season we gonna reap if we faint not. So I refuse to lose something that I've bound. I will not allow that to happen. I'm believing God for the unbelievable, because I will not put my faith on something possible. That's a waste of time and energy. I put my faith on something impossible. Glory to God. Because then I can't get the credit for it, and only God can be magnified. And when it comes, all I can say, look what the Lord hath done. Glory to God. Are you seeing that? See, some of you have been believing God for your husband, but you've loosed him sometimes. Well, you should have kept him bound. Now, I'm not talking about beating your brains out. Just bind him in the spirit. The Bible said that the believing spouse sanctifies the unbelieving spouse. That doesn't mean it gets him saved or gets her saved. What it does is sets them apart for salvation. See, after a while you get mad, oh, God ain't going to ever save him. So you give up on God, and all of a sudden you get a divorce, or he starts beating your brains out. Because what you did was loose something that was bound. See what I'm saying? Kathy bound me to the gospel. I didn't want to be bound. She just did it. She had the power. I was lost as a goose in the fog in them days. She said, Jesse getting saved whether he like it or not. Mama said that. Jesse, you getting saved whether you like it or not. I laughed at all, but it was no laughing matter in heaven and in earth. But what they bound in heaven bound me. And you know, she had many opportunities to fail in it, both Mama and Kathy, but they refused to lose something. And I don't doubt at times he got a little weary listening to me cuss all the time. Because see, when I got saved, I had to learn a new language. It's called English. Because every other word I spoke was a cuss word. I didn't know anything else. But see, when you have the devil, you're going to speak like the devil. But when you have God, you speak like God. Do you see that? Oh, you hear what I'm saying? So all of a sudden, it just began to work. God began to move on it. I mean, they didn't see any results. You understand? I was still drinking. I was still doing dope. I was still doing anything I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. I didn't care who heard about it, saw it, or whatever. It didn't make no difference to me. See, once I made up my mind to pay for what I wanted to do, I didn't care if you was a policeman. If I want to smoke dope, I smoke dope in front of you. I don't care if I go to jail. I done made up my mind. I'll go to jail. See, that's the kind of crazy man I was. I was crazy. If I wanted to fight, I didn't care if they put a gun in my face. You better pull the trigger. Something gonna happen. Because I done made up my mind to pay the cost. One time I wanted to hit a guy. And the first thing I thought of, man, I'm going to go to jail. That's okay. It's worth going to jail. But I might go 5 years. I'll think about every day that I busted that sucker. I'm going to go to jail. Well, I ran back to busted. Thank God that the policeman caught me, put my hand. He said, man, you're going to go to jail over there. I said, yeah, I already made up my mind. I was going. I'm willing to pay the cost. See, once a person willing to pay the cost, you can't stop him. Well, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus paid the cost, and you can't stop him. That's why I said that. See, you thought I was off the sermon then. No, no. I understood that. See, so what I had to do is learn to bind those things that were bothering me. So Kathy bound them, then I got born again. Then all of a sudden, the binding part became my job. Then it was my job to bind that. See, now, I drank a fifth of whiskey a day before I got born again. I mean, I used to drink constantly all the time. You know, after I got born again, I was totally, completely delivered of it. But that doesn't mean I lost the taste of it. Because every time I'd see it, I'd go. I'd have to bind that, then bring that thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, I could have loosed it and repented later. Jesus. But I refused to do that. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we're going to reap if we faint not. How many of y'all believe in God for a financial miracle? Have you bound the devil? Have you bound the devil? Yeah. Talk to me now. Yeah. Don't never loosen it. Don't worry about what anybody says anytime. You have that power in heaven and in earth. Amen. Do you see that? Yeah. Now, don't be weary in well-doing. Oh, Lord. Sometimes you don't feel like going to church. You get weary. You know, I thought, you know what I thought of? I wasn't going to preach this much. The pastor was hinting to me. You got to watch pastor. He always hinting to you. He said, hey, where are you going this weekend? I said, I'm going to Fort Worth. I preached Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday I did television. Friday I did something else. I had to go, yeah, Friday here. Now, so I had a little bit of time off yesterday. Glory to God. So I figured, oh Lord, I got to preach Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'm actually preaching every day. Plus I got to do altar calls, all kind of other stuff. So Sunday I'm going to have off. And pastor said, you know how bad David, how you doing that? I said, hey, Pastor David. He said, you know, I ain't seen you in a while. I said to myself, what do you want? What do you want? Hey, you know, if you want to come, you know, well, just, you know, the pulpit's yours. And then he had someone to agree with him. All right. Kathy. She said, you know, you hadn't been here in a while. Yeah, I know that. So now I got Pastor and Kathy. Two of them agree. Now there was something happened. Somebody had to touch me. That's touching. So naturally we went and eat dinner with Pastor Betty and Pastor David. And guess who touched me on the shoulder? Pastor Betty. See, I did that. I said, I'm caught. I got two agreeing, one touching. Lord Jesus, I'm in trouble. It was just a pat. And she may not even thought of it. I don't know. But you see, it's God knows what's going on. So I purposely, let me just tell you something that you ain't going to, I purposely didn't even look at the Bible yesterday. Because I knew if I look at it, he's going to make me preach. I said, I ain't looking at it. Take my time. Rest my body. He said, and do you know, the Lord made me sleepy early. All right. I don't do that. Do you understand? I'm a late night person. I'm a night person. I tell you what, by 8:30, I was like an old man. I thought, what is the problem here? I can't get over that. And I just heard something say, take the television off and go to bed. So I took that phone, I just cut it off. I was watching the news, you know, watching this Israel thing and all that kind of stuff. And I went laid in the bed and I said, man, it's just too early. Gone. I slept last night from 8:30, 9 o'clock till 7:30 this morning. The Lord God woke me up and went, how do you feel, Jesse Duplantis? I said, I feel rested. He said, go look at your Bible. Go look at your Bible. So God honored me. See what I'm saying? And I said, what do you want me to preach? He said, don't, when you bind something, don't loose it. Whatever you bind, never loose, because it will come to pass. So when you see that, see, then you'll understand what God is saying here. Now, notice, he said, if two of you as agree, agreement or unity, write this down if you're taking notes. Agreement or unity is very essential in prayer. Why? Because the goal must be the same for both parties. Let me say it again. Agreement or unity is very essential in prayer because the goal must be the same for both parties. You see, a lot of times we don't have unity in the body of Christ. We have uniformity. We come to the meetings, we say amen only to the things we agree with. Amen. And then you can tell when we don't agree, we go, amen. Amen. That's uniformity. We all together, we're called Christians, but a lot of time we're not Christ-like. You should, and I've said this before, I gotta say it again. Never judge Christianity by the conduct of Christians. But, we're gonna lose. You judge Christianity by the conduct of Christ. Am I correct? Now watch this. So this agreement, he said, if two of you is agree, two of you is agree, that in itself is a big thing. So agreement or unity is very essential in prayer because the goal must be the same for both parties. Now Romans chapter 12 verse 5 says, so we being many are one body in Christ, not in Christ's, but in Christ, and everyone's member one of another. That's Romans chapter 12 verse 5. Go to that and then we'll read it again. Let me read the point. Agreement or unity is very essential in prayer because the goal must be the same for both parties. You know what? You got to be thinking alike, doing right. I find our best decision me and Kathy's ever made in our life is when we totally both agreed on something. There was never ever an argument, and it was a total success on everything we ever did when we totally agreed on something. But if I got something in my spirit, or she got something in her spirit, and she got bullheaded, or I got bullheaded, and we went ahead and did it, I noticed that it didn't operate and function the way it was supposed to. We never got the fullness of what we were believing for. Are you hear what I'm saying? Let me say it again. Agreement or unity is very essential in prayer because the goal must be the same for both parties. Now, when we built this campus here, these buildings, we were in agreement in everything we did. Everything. I, in fact, told the contractor, I said, I'm going to give you a scripture. Hearken unto my wife. You know, Abraham said, hearken. Yeah, God told Abraham, hearken unto the side. Listen, because Kathy understood some things I didn't understand. I mean, you know, I my job was to pay for it. My job was to dream it down, but her job was to put it together. But then yet her dreams became my dreams, and my dream became her dream. After a while of doing all this, everything, I began to understand some things that she understood, and she began to understand some things I understood. In other words, we became one corporate unit working this thing that you're seeing here today. And the same thing with our ministry. Because we had to be, the goal must be exactly the same for both parties. Notice what it says in Romans 12 verse 5. So we being many, that's bunches of us, are one body. That's Catholics, Baptists, and Methodists, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, Church of God, Church of Christ, Word of Faith, Full Gospel, Assemblies of God, whatever. We're one body, yet of many members, and everyone members one of another. That's why you don't hear me criticizing the Catholics. A lot of Protestant preachers criticize Catholics. It ain't not my job to criticize anybody. My job is to preach the gospel. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do I agree with everything that the Catholics say? No. Let me put it on. Put me on. I don't agree with everything the Catholics say. I don't agree with everything the Methodists say. I don't agree with everything the Baptists say. I don't agree with everything the Assemblies of God say. I don't agree with everything the Church of God says, or the Church of Christ says, or the Church of God in prophecy says. I don't even agree with everything I say. Did y'all get that? I had to put myself in that. God has made me say something I didn't agree with. I said, why? He wanted me to stretch. He wanted me to get there. I said, but if I can get him to say it. Amen. If you would say to this mountain, God had to get a mountain out of my life. Be thou removed. Be thou cast into the sea. Not doubt in your heart. Believe those things. But who says? You say. Not God. You say. You shall have whatsoever you saith. So God will make you say something you don't even believe yourself. But by the time it gets out of your mouth, you believe it. You go, man, I gotta grow on that. I gotta work on that. Yeah. Why? Because everybody's growing. Do you see what I'm saying? You know, the only time you feel growth and you don't remember is when you're a baby. You don't feel growth anytime. But a baby feels growth all the time. Do you know how hard it is to cut teeth? Do you realize that baby going through? You see that spit coming out of me? They say, oh, children just slobber. No, if you's cutting teeth, I don't care if you're 80 years old, you'd be slobbering all over yourself. That hurts. And that baby knows, But see, thank God that the Lord wipes it from your memory. Thank God. Do you know how hard it is to walk? No, you don't think twice about it. No, you just take off. Oh, Lord. But you ever see a baby? Lord Jesus. Lord. That's why you give them big diapers, because they constantly fall. So they don't hurt their little selves. Am I true? Am I telling the truth? Think about that. You see, but thank God you didn't feel those, you don't remember those knocks and those pains and the hits on the head and all that kind of stuff. Thank God. Because it hurts to grow. Well, when you're spiritually, now here's the difference. When you're spiritually, you remember all of it. You see what I'm saying? And you go, I don't want to do that. But that's the only way you're going to get there is if you grow there. Not if you go there, but if you grow there. Are you getting what I'm saying? So agreement on unity is very essential in prayer. I'm saying it over some of you writing it down. Because the goal must be the same for both parties. See, when Elijah looked at Ahab, he didn't want to tell the guy, "Caught in my word, it ain't rain, see you later, bye." Because Jezebel will kill you in a second. You get a mean woman, that's worse than a mean man. Bible said don't even scorn a woman. You don't scorn no woman. Man, woman tear you up something. And then cry about it. "I killed my husband, I'm so sorry. Hey, no problem, I'll get another one." I'm telling you, boy, they're rough. So, we being many are one body in Christ, Romans 12:5, and everyone member one of another. So, Lord Jesus, I love my Baptist brothers and my Methodist brothers. I didn't say I agree with everything. That's all right. Do you know that I go to a lot of stores. There's a lot of stuff in them I don't like. So I don't get any of it. I go to the stuff that I like. Do you know I go to a lot of restaurants and about 80% of that menu I don't like. Kathy gets mad at me because I eat the same thing all the time, Tommy. Why? Just happen to like it. But see, she going to try something new. And it costs me money. Trying costs a lot of money and it don't work.
All right.
All of a sudden she said, "I don't like this." "Well, eat it, sucker." "Well, she ain't going to eat it. Well, I'm going to get me something else. Can I have some of yours?" "Yeah, you can have some of mine." And then she said, "You know, you just eat the same thing all the time." "Yeah, but I ain't disappointed." You know, you understand what I'm saying? So the other day, I did it. I shouldn't have did it. I went against my own flesh, Lord, my own thinking. We was at the Cheesecake Factory up in New York. And man, I like that Cheesecake Factory place. You know, I mean, if you ever eat there, you know what I'm talking about. It's a good place to eat. Well, she said, "Y'all always eat the same thing all the time. Y'all always eat the same thing all the time." She didn't know there was a man behind her looking at me, and I looked at him, he went. He said, "His wife says the same thing." So I said, "Okay, I'm going to try something different. Why don't you just try something different?" So I did. It was trash. She said, "Well, I don't see why you ordered that." Oh, I don't want him to talk to you, woman. I'm still mad about it. Oh, God. I should have got what I knew to get. Yeah. Then she did. She said, "Well, you shouldn't have got that." "Well, excuse me. It's something new." See, Kathy gets mad at me if she eats too much pasta. Because it makes her fat. I'm not putting the spaghetti in her mouth. I'm buying the spaghetti. I tell you what, every time I come over here, you just make me eat pasta. Have y'all ever seen me trying to stuff pasta down my wife's throat? No. She eats it with a good heart. Then she go home and go, "I tell you what, you're the Antichrist, Jesse." "I ain't the Antichrist. Made me eat that pasta." You got to be kidding me. If I'd have grabbed that spoon to take that pasta out your mouth, I'd have one arm. I'd be preaching like this morning. She likes it. So eat it. I told her, "I don't care. Eat it. I don't care if you gain weight on it. I don't care. I didn't marry your body. Do you understand? Just be happy, girl. You get fat, fine. You get skinny, fine. I don't know. You get ugly, we'll pray." No. No, just glory to God. I don't care. I'm serious. I'm serious as I can be about that. I don't care. I know I'm making some of you men mad, but I really don't care. Look, there's enough pressures in life. I ain't putting no pressures on Kathy if she gains weight or lose weight. That's her body. Do what she want with it. Just every once in a while, "Hey, baby, what's up?" That's all. I mean, I just do what you want to do. This is my body. I'm going to do what I want my body. You understand what I'm saying? She gets mad at me sometimes. I'm going to do it. I'm just going to do it. I don't care. Well, this is my body. One man said, "Well, bless God, I'm just so sick and tired of losing weight." I said, quit trying to lose weight. You're going to lose all the weight after you're dead, so don't worry about it. You're going to get back in them 28 jeans when you're dead, so don't worry about it. Lose it all then. Who cares? That make no difference. I mean, Lord Jesus. It's tough to see people say, I bind this food. I bind this food. Now, if you want to lose weight, don't lose something you're bound. You know how food is. It's got a voice. Food will talk to you. Food will talk to you, son. Piece of chicken will pull me out of bed at 3 o'clock in the morning. It'll do it. I hear it. And then sometimes I just hear that, love that chicken from Popeye. I'm just sleeping and I just wake up, whoa. And the Lord said, don't eat that, Jesse. Don't eat that. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, sometime I do it. And then the Lord lets me know I disobeyed. Start burping, get that heart back. Which brings me to my next point. Title of the message, what you bind, you should never lose. Don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Come against the spirit that motivates people to do wrong things. Amen. Write that down. Don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Come against the spirit that motivates people to do wrong things. Ephesians 6 verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'd like to stop there and tell the whole church world that the whole church world has disobeyed that verse. The Catholics have disobeyed it. The Baptists, the Methodists, the Episcopalian, the Jews, the Muslims, the Hindus, the Buddhists, all of it. We all wrestle against flesh and blood, and we should not do that. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, you want to fight? Fight this, but against principalities. That's one class of devils. Against powers, that's two classes of devils. Against rulers of the darkness of this world, that's three classes of devils. Against spiritual wickedness in high places, that's four classes of devils. You want to fight? You want to wrestle? You want to have WrestleMania? Then don't fight your brother or your sister or a denomination or a non-denomination or an interdenomination. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. What we should fight is stop the spirit from motivating people from doing wrong things. Oh, this is good stuff. Don't, what you bind, you should never lose. Listen, let me say it again. Don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Come against the spirit that motivates people to do wrong things. I never forget one time, Christine's here. Christine, lift your hand up. I guess we'll see what I'm talking about. One time I was in my office and the Lord told me to go bless the Methodist church. Remember that? And Christine, I think, once brought the check. God said, go. I was out jogging. I ran past the Methodist church. Now, you might have heard me say this before. As I ran past it, the Lord said, go over there, send them an offering. Tell your secretary, bring them an offering. Just bless them. And the first thing I said, like a stupid thing, I said, I'm not Methodist. He said, well, I am. I said, you are? Yeah. He said, do Methodists believe in Jesus? I said, yeah. He said, do you believe in Jesus? I said, yeah. He said, you Methodist? Oh, yeah. Yeah. So the first thing I thought of, well, the only thing I should give to is people of who hang with me. No, God knew what he wanted to do. So I just rebuked that in the name of Jesus, finished my jogging. When I got back to the office, I told Kathy, I said, if you don't mind, tell Christine to go over there and give him a donation. And we did. Make a long story short, I didn't know at the time that this pastor is no longer here now, that they were struggling to get over their building program for some reason or another. They weren't able to, you know, people weren't giving to it, or maybe they'd stopped giving to it. They wanted to build that building in the back. Well, the pastor couldn't hardly believe that, quote, a Pentecostal, non-denominational minister would give to him. Well, I said, man, you're in the ministry. You're in the gospel, you know. I said, do Methodists believe in Jesus? You know, yeah, well, I'm a Methodist. You know, make a long story short, when he told his church people, it energized, it energized the building program of the people that go to his church, and they built their building. Boom, the money came in. All people needed was just a little push. You see what I'm saying? That was a wonderful thing. So it didn't make no difference to me, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, if I want to fight, I'm going to fight against principalities and powers, spiritual rulers, spiritual wickedness. Oh, you want to fight? You can fight that. But actually what you do is walk on those boys. You see what I'm saying? So let me say it again. Don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Come against the spirit that motivates people to do wrong things. I've had a lot of people do wrong things to me. And I didn't do them anything. I'm not just blaming. And I just said, you know what? There's nothing wrong with Sister So-and-so. You ever heard people say Sister So-and-so is a devil? She's not a devil. She may act like a devil, but she's not a devil. Principalities work through personalities. So what I do is come against the spirit that's motivating her. You know, if you want your children to act better, you don't need to beat them up. Come against that spirit that's motivating them to do those things. I'm talking about little ones. Little ones. I've said this before. The other day I had me and Kathy had a really great blessing. We love Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. They happen to be personal friends and we've been preaching together for many, many years. Well, I also know Brother Copeland's children, you know, John Copeland, his son, who's now, I think, probably at the time of this preaching, John's probably 40 years old now, I guess. And anyway, they had some babies, you know, so Brother Copeland's got a bunch of grandbabies. Well, one of his little grandbabies was called Courtney, which was John Copeland's daughter. I think his first baby. She just fell in love with me as a small child. She just come up to the TV and kiss it. She just loved me. She said, "But call my Uncle Jesse." What's this? Well, she's now 13, 14 years old, I guess. I mean, you know. So the other day I was in New York. So Courtney, if you're hearing this, you're still a blessing to me. What's it? I didn't hardly recognize her. I mean, she went, "Hey, Uncle Jesse." I turned around and went, "Who's this little girl?" "Oh, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, I see that Copeland look, you know." I said, "Oh, that's Courtney. Hey, Courtney, what is it?" It was truly a blessing to see her. You see what I'm saying? It was a blessing. So, and come to find out, we all got to go out and eat dinner at night. We had finished preaching. It was at night. So we went to this wonderful restaurant. I'll give them a plug in New York, Carmine's. Glory, they got big pasta bowls. Kathy, like, got lobster in it and shrimp. Oh, geez, this stuff is eating. So I said, so they had two other little friends. Well, the pastor's daughter, Danielle, was there. Then they had another little girl named Danielle, too, I think. So it's two Danielles and Courtney. And I just felt so good. I said, "Boy, Courtney, I said, you've grown up so much. You're such a blessing. Loves the Lord with all her heart. She's a blessing to God." All right. So we're sitting there. So this is, I don't know if it's the first time they've been in New York or whatever. Anyway, they're just all, you know, they're 13 years old. Hey, hey, hey. And all this kind of stuff. And the Lord said, "Bless them. Bless them." I said, "What? What do you want? Bless them." I said, "Girls, y'all got any money?" So I gave each $100. I said, "Here, go. Y'all going shopping?" "Now we are." Well, what? Now watch this. If you don't think two of us agree, I didn't know this. Kathy didn't tell me this. Kathy leaned over before I believe I did this and gave the pastor's wife some money to go shopping. Right? Am I telling the truth? So, you know, we blessed them kids. Plus, and she said, "Oh, Jesse, you're such a bless." It blessed me that she even thinks of me as her uncle to start with. You know, I mean, I have no Copeland blood in me. She don't have any Duplantis blood in her. But you know what? We have the same spirit. Amen. Now, I didn't say this when the Lord told me that wonderful thing. "I bind you, devil." Hey, that girl ain't my daughter. Her daddy ought to be giving her that. Or someone else. No. I had an opportunity. And the Bible says this, "As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith."
Amen.
Do you see that? So Kathy got blessed. I got blessed. The girls got blessed. I mean, it was wonderful to be a blessing in that area. Well, I could have wrestled with that thought. I could have said, "Well, I'm not going to do that." You know, I do that with people I don't even know. Sometimes I'm in a store. And usually when you say this, people, they start following you when they're shopping. You know, and I just hear them say something and they can't afford to do something or whatever. And I go, "Can I do that?" What? How many times people have bought my meal at a restaurant and I never knew who it was? Never. They walked out and they said, "Your meal's paid for." You know what's the first thing I did? I said, "Oh, well, do you know who they are?" "No." I said, "Did they take care of you?" Amen. Talking about the waiter or the waitress. "Yes, they did." I said, "Well, here's a little extra. I'll always be able to. I want to make sure that the people that wait on me, especially if they give me a good service, I want to be a blessing to them." Yet I've heard preachers say, "You think we ought to tip?" I said, "You cheapskate fool, yeah, you ought to tip." I get real irritated about that. Talk about the prosperity of God and want God to bless you. And you, man, you want to cut somebody's guts out over a few bucks? Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, you should. Why not? No, I tell you what you ought to do. You ought to plan every time you do go out to be a blessing to that way. Now, if they don't do their job, say, "You know, I did bring a gift. I am going to bless you, but I'm going to expect some results from this." That's called good service and a good meal, right? That makes sense to me. Let me say this in close. So what you bind, you should never lose. Never lose. So our weapons are our spiritual weapons and not natural weapons. Be strong in God and not in yourself. I mentioned that a while ago. Our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God. So we have spiritual weapons. We use spiritual weapons against physical things. Satan uses physical weapons against physical things. He doesn't have any spiritual weapons whatsoever at all because he's spiritually dead. Do you understand that? If you want to defeat the devil, you never use something physical against him because he can defeat you on that. You use something spiritual, something that he cannot handle because he is spiritually dead and you're spiritually alive. So what I do is, what I bind on earth is bound in heaven, and what I loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Which means this, when I loose my prayer on earth, it is loose to go to the throne of God in heaven immediately. Do you see that? But what I bind, and I do this in the realm of the spirit, why do you deal with that so much? Because Satan can't deal in that realm. He only deals in the realm of the physical, in the natural. He goes by what he sees. He cannot operate. He is spiritually dead. He can't function and operate. So you have the advantage. But if you take a physical weapon to go against a physical devil, you're going to lose. For example, if you start fighting flesh and blood, that's physical weapon. Man, you're going, how many people you know today don't go to church because they were fighting flesh and blood in the church? They split. They call it church split. What you used, and what happened was both parties were destroyed. Because you use the weapon that Satan knows how it works. And if he knows how it works, then he can stop it. But if you use a spiritual weapon, all he hears is something coming through the air and he don't know what it is. Before you know, boom, he's taken care of. Now, when you understand that, when me and Kathy go to do things in the Lord, we pray about it and we set ourselves in agreement, as I said earlier. And when you do that, I refuse. I will not wrestle with flesh and blood. I'm not going to have a debate with a Muslim. Why? Because all you're going to deal with is religion, and religion is a man-made thing. Trying to convince each other who's right. I don't need to do that. What I do, ladies and gentlemen, if you're watching in the Middle East this morning, you'll understand. They say, why do you serve Christ? For one reason. He's the only one got rid of my evidence. Do you understand? I had sin. I was going to hell because I was a sinner. And Muhammad didn't touch it. He left it there. And Buddha didn't touch it. He left it there. But Jesus washed it away, took it out. All evidence against me was nullified, gone. So when I stand in the court of the Most High God, he looks at me in this court case and says, how do you plead, Jesse? I say, I plead the blood, Lord. I plead the blood. And it's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a stream. It's not a trickle. It's not a river. It's an ocean. Glory to God. It will wash it clean. The washing of the water of the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, even though some ministers don't like me, I still like them. I didn't say I hang with them. I can't hang with them. If they let me, I'd be a blessing to them. But they won't, so, you know, I don't cast my pearl before swine. I didn't call them a pig. I quoted Jesus' word there. You see what I'm saying? Just that simple. But I made up my mind, you know, you can do what you want to do. That's it, but I know what I'm going to do. Having done all the stand therefore. That's what I do. I just stand. Glory to God. And it comes about. I do not loose something that I've bound. There's a lot of things I've been believing God for. If we would have loosed that thing over there at the airport, we'd have never been able to receive it. Boy, we had many opportunities to fail. Lord, Jesus, I want to tell you something. We got irritated. Our patience wore thin. I got angry. I got mad. I ain't gonna lie about it. But I refused to loosen that knot. I made up my mind that God would have a presence on a federally funded intercontinental international airport. And the Lord does today. Not to show off me. He ain't got anything to do with me. But God's got to have somebody to work through. I made up my mind that when I bound myself to be a giver and a tither. And buddy, there was times I wanted to loosen that knot, because the heart, sometimes God make you give something you know you need desperately. You just need it. You understand what I'm saying? But see, you've got to break that barrier and realize that God is your source. And once that barrier is broken, my Lord, and when you give it, you feel hurt. You feel, Lord, God's got everything I got. But what he's trying to do is get you everything he has. So I've learned to do that as well as receive. So, and when I first started receiving, oh, Jesus, I didn't know how to handle. What I'm going to say? What I'm going to tell the people? What they're going to write things about me in the paper. They're going to say all kinds of different, you know what, that's all right. Do you know when I built this place, they equated me with Waco, Texas, with David Koresh? Do you understand that? I hit the front page of the New York, of the Louisiana, what do you call that thing, the Picayune Times, Picayune? I put a fence out there. Do you know how much that fence is out there cost around this mission? There's 9 acres of brick and wrought iron fence. That's over $340,000, just that fence out there. I wanted to do it to make God's place good. You know what they said? He's building a Waco. He's got a Waco compound. Oh, Lord, you made me so mad I could spit. Guess what? My lawyers, no money. I got some good lawyers. You understand? They went, Jesse, we got him, Jesse, we got him. Oh, Lord, it's called guilt by association. We'll sue the shoes off their feet. He said, you won't have to pay for none of this. You won't have to raise a dime. The devil will pay for it all. Boy, I wanted to. Come on. But I said, that's wrestling with flesh and blood. Amen. I will not do that. I said, I'm going to preach to these people. I know what they wanted. They weren't interested in just being spiritual. They wanted some money. Lawyers gravitate toward money. And that's okay. So do you. That's why you work every week. You're looking for that check. You ain't going down there because you like the place. I just enjoy being here. You ain't got to give me nothing. I'll work for the rest of my life. Yo, mama, you know that ain't right. You're working for that check. And that's okay. You deserve the check. You work for it. Now, that doesn't mean you can't use the law to help you in an endeavor. I keep praying about it. And if they refuse to listen to the voice of God, then the Lord will say, go to a legal counsel and get some legal, and do some legal things. Because you observe the law of the land. We've had to do that. Didn't want to. But you know what? It still didn't make an enemy out of nobody. You see what I'm saying? So there are laws in the land that God puts in this land that he moves upon people, you know, that Christians should use. And if you don't use those, you can lose your freedoms. That doesn't mean you know, Bible says, don't take your brother to court. Well, those people wasn't my brother. Them people wanted to hurt me. And all I wanted to do was be a blessing. So finally, I told him, and I know I wanted to. I said, and I had the money. I had a war chest, son. I'm going to own something pretty soon. But you know what? The Lord said, don't do that. But not too long ago, the Lord said, go through the legal course of this act. Take a legal action against this. They will not listen. I have moved upon them, so they will listen to this. And normally you get your lawyers to talk. That court case, I never forget that court case. Finally, I did something, I couldn't believe I did it. I did it in court. I lifted my hand up. You ever lift your hand up in court? It's not like you're in school. You know, I just lifted my hand. And I thought, if they call on me, I'm going to say I'm praising God. And the judge just stopped, said, Reverend DePlanche, you have something to say? And boy, the other lawyers don't like it. He can't say nothing. But the judge said, you can say. It's his courtroom. I said, I can fix this. I can change all this just like that. The lawyer over here, and the lawyer, they look at me. And the judge said, well, Dr. DePlanche, how would you do that? I said, I'll buy it all. I'll just buy it. I'll give them more money than they need for it to be a blessing to them. Would that be okay, Judge? All I want to do is stop a child from getting hurt. I'm not trying to push power. I just want to stop a child from getting hurt. That judge says, that sounds good to me. He looked at the lawyer. Does that sound good to you? Now, he's telling that judge, that lawyer's telling that judge, whatever you say, I ain't going to agree with. And then he looked at my lawyer. Does that sound good to you? My lawyer said, yes, sir, that sounds good. If Dr. Plant says he won't do, that's fine. This lawyer going, he says, does that sound good to you? He said, that sounds good to me. He said, Mr. DePlanche, Dr. Plant, this thing is settled. I said, yes, it is. I said, and no enemies. Everybody happy. Amen. Walked out of court. I won the case. Well, he said, it cost you something. No, it would have cost me way more. Amen. If I wouldn't have done that. Sure. Well, it turned out I became a blessing. All of a sudden, the lawyer who was so mad at me became my friend. I saw him 2 weeks later. Hey, Reverend, man, I tell you what, that was an honorable thing you did. I said, well, man, I just want, he said, you know, he said, yeah, he said, I said, he said, you know, all of a sudden, he said, let me buy you dinner. Thank you. All this turned around because I refused to wrestle with flesh and blood. All right. Please. That's simple, ladies and gentlemen. Please. Don't, but now I had bound them. I mean, I said, I bind them in the name of Jesus. I noticed they had a hard time talking. They didn't know, man, I had my fist down their throat. I bind them. I sure wouldn't go loose it. And then afterward, that judge said, I'd like to get to know you. I said, I'd like to get to know you. I'm always a man. I close with this statement. I don't look for limelight. I'll go to the back of something. Boy, every time somebody grab me and stick me right in the front, I don't even want to be. By the time I want to go to a meeting, I go sit in the back. Just anything. They'll just come grab me. When Billy Graham came to New Orleans, I didn't know. Now I just wanted to be a blessing to Dr. Billy Graham. Yeah, I got born again under his ministry. So I go, they said, I head for the back. Boom. I mean, ever New Orleans politician, you know, I watch you on television. I want to get to know you. How you doing? I'm just trying to stay back. Let everybody say, I don't have to sit on the platform. I'll sit in the garbage can. I don't care. I just want to hear Billy Graham. That's all. That's all I was interested in. I want to show honor to whom honor is due. And you know, I got jerked up. And the same thing happened the other day in Washington, D.C. I mean, the who's who was there. I mean, senators all over. So, you know what? You know, because we're honorable people. We're people of humility. We headed straight for the back. Go sit in the back table. Buddy, they saw us. Oh, no, Reverend. I said, we didn't know where to sit. We'll just find a hole in the wall there and just be an ear listening. They grabbed us. Man, I'm walking. I thought, oh, no, Lord Jesus. Oh, God. All the way up to the front table. Now, they're filming this thing. I know when camera's on me. I know that camera's on me, and even though I'm not looking at it. Now, that one just got on me. It's peripheral vision. You learn television. And every time the senator would talk, boom, they'd do a shot on me. And I just smile. And everybody's standing on the floor, and I stand up on the floor. But then somebody said something that I didn't agree with, so I didn't stand up and applaud. Well, because you got to be honest. I just keep saying, guess what? Boom. But I didn't go. I just went. Why? Because they ain't used to lie about it. Right? And then come to find out one of my employees said they saw it on television and it was constantly going to me. And I'm not the biggest preacher in there. By no means. The who's who the preaching world was there. But I sure got a lot of shots. What I mean by that, a lot of times I thought, what is the Lord doing? What is he saying? And that's when Kathy got back to me. She said, I'll tell you what he's saying. You need to start standing up politically. You need to, you know, I said, listen, Kathy. She said, listen to me, fool. Listen to me. She said, you need to, you know, a lot of people, you need to start standing up there because you can talk. You got some wisdom. I said, listen, I don't want to get involved in that. And I didn't listen. I said, woman, just a minute. Go on now. Go on with them. Feel all that stuff like that. God didn't call me to be a politician. Call me to be a preacher. I got in that bed and the Lord said, Jesse, I said, I don't want to talk about this. He said, I'm opening up some doors in the political realm. I'm not running for nothing. Don't you understand? So, you know, but I'm opening up some doors in the political realm. I want you to get involved in some of those things. Why? He said, you don't have any skeletons in your closet. He said, they're going to come a-looking. They ain't going to find anything. Right. And you're a person of character. Amen. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just saying what the Lord said. He said, you're a person of integrity. He said, tell me how I judge your character. Character is what you do when you're alone, not when you're in front of people.
Amen.
See what I'm saying? But Kathy was right. She heard the voice of the Lord. And I'm walking away from that like white on right. But you know, because go do your thing, I'll do mine. But you know what? For this world to change, we're going to need some words that are spoken. And that whatever we speak, we stand on it and never change.
That's right.
Having done all the stand therefore. So, many of you have bound some things and you're weary in some areas. Do not loose them. Your victory day is coming. Did you enjoy it today?
Yeah.
Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Come on. Give him a good one. Stand to your feet right now. Glory to God. Hallelujah.